a fitting end to our study in holiness. That's where we come today. Do keep Colossians open in front of you. And our purpose today is to see how the Lord Jesus Christ is all in all. That is where all holiness begins and ends. And Paul, writing to the Colossians, built on what he had just said in chapter 1 and rises through chapter 2, explains his labor for the church, explains how the church can now labor in Christ with freedom from human regulation, and rises in chapter 3 to give us rules for holy living. And in doing so, in verse 11, says, "Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." And that's where we will come to in just a moment. But as we conclude this study on the book of holiness, we've missed some chapters out. If you were to have an original copy of Ryle's book, you will find as we've gone through, we've occasionally missed a chapter out. Well, now we've missed a whole chunk of them out, and we've come to the end. That's no mistake. It's deliberate choice. And if you have a copy of the new version of the reprint, if you like, they've left those chapters out and left us with 10 to read. But I do want to sort of catch with you what we've left out, because I would challenge some of you who've enjoyed these sermons to, if you've read the new book, you might want in times to come to go back and read Ryle's original and all the extra chapters. It's a fruitful thing to do. You see, Ryle, as he has challenged us on living a holy life, has left these things out. Sorry, Ryle left these things in. We've left them out. We've left out the challenge to remind ourselves that it's Christ who builds the church. And so even as you and I are looking to live a holy life, the Lord Jesus Christ is building a church of holy people. And then we read some difficult chapters, some warnings. And perhaps some of us need to hear them, some don't. But visible churches were warned, Ryle wrote, saying, you know, you do need to be aware that not every church that calls itself Christian is Christian. And friends, I have to say again today, as your pastor, not every church that calls itself Christian, is biblical, and is seeking to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be aware of that. Do you remember that lovely section of the gospel account? And the Lord Jesus Christ came to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" Three times, to undo, if you will, the three times Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as we must be warned that there are those who call themselves Christian who aren't, there are Christians who deny Christ and need to be brought back to him. And there is a way back. So we, if we read the original, would be challenged about coming back. The Ephesian church, before it was the church, was without Christ, Paul wrote to them. This is what you were. That's explored. And then Ryle explores how that thirst that they discovered was relieved by the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, all you who are thirsty, I will give you the waters of life." Lovely chapters again, of people being brought to saving faith. It's not just thirst. It's not just the relief of thirst, which sometimes is sort of not very good, is it? You know, it's been hot these last few days and you can have a drink and you do feel better, but it's not great still. The chapter that follows, Ryle explores the unsearchable riches of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and how this track grows in the Holy Person. And then they are compared to the wants of our times, and the world is set up. Look at these things, these baubles that the world is offering. They're not a patch on the unsearchable riches of Christ. So that's what we've left out. And I hope you can see that there's stepping stones there rising to what I think is the crowning glory. Christ is all. and in all. And you picture in your mind our Queen's crown, royal regalia, as it's called, that is used frequently. You know, it's the oldest set of regalia that's in use. Nobody else uses theirs. That's one of the things I love about our country. You may not, that's okay. But I love that about our country. You know, we've got that heritage, and I find that wonderful. And you can look at this. Who knows what the diamond is here? Anybody know what it's called, where it came from? Sorry? No, not this one down here. The Kohinoor is elsewhere. You're absolutely right. That's part of the royal regalia. This one down here is the Cullinan. It's one of the Cullinan diamonds. And it's the second piece. The first piece, the big piece, is in the scepter. And the second piece is here, right in the front and center of the crown. So that as you look at this crown, which has got all sorts of other jewels and gems on it from our history, here is this one, this wonderful, great big diamond. It's the gemstone set front and center on the crown. The first thing you see as you look at the crown. And friends, I want to get that in your mind as we come to this passage, as we come to the end of this time studying holiness. Christ is all. Christ is that gemstone, that wonderful stone, the first thing you see. Okay, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to get a grip on today. Christ is all. Is Christ all? Has to be the question that resounds in our minds and challenges our hearts as we read the text. Christ is all. Because I got to put my hand up and say, I'm not sure Christ is all for me. In every aspect, in every minute of every day. Really? Is Christ all? Let us ask the question. Let us think on how Christ is all. How do we adorn the gospel properly? That's where we began. We adorn the gospel properly by making Christ all of what we do and what we say. How does the Queen, how is she adorned properly? The state opening of Parliament on other occasions with that great lovely crown and all the other regalia set with that lovely gemstone front and center, first thing you see. Friends, how do we adorn the gospel? We do so by allowing, by showing that Christ is all. Well, let us begin. Let us begin with the challenge that this is not just from one part of Scripture, but it's the whole of Scripture. I love the way Paul writes, not just to the Colossian church, but I want to challenge you. He writes to many of the churches in slightly different ways, and perhaps these words will help you to connect with what we're doing. Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, because I will be with Christ." That's what it means for Christ to be all. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I'll go the right way in a moment and find the page. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ," says Paul, "and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, this is what we're talking about as we say Christ is all. And you can find many other passages like that. It's the essence and the substance of our Christianity. Christ is our all in all. Consider this with me today. And perhaps I can give you the building blocks which will underpin your personal consideration of where you're at and of those you're spiritually responsible for as you ask yourself, is Christ all in all? Let's look. And first of all, let's look at the counsel of God, the interaction of God with man. And let's see how in all the counsel of God, Christ has been the all in all. Tell me, where was Christ before creation? Where was he? In eternal communion with God the Father and God the Spirit, because he is God. There is no question over this. We cannot do anything but hear the testimony of God's word. In the beginning, John chapter 1 and verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later on in that same chapter, the Word is identified as Jesus Christ. Before creation, Jesus was and was eternally who he is today. If you wish to go elsewhere, there are many other references. I'm not going to I had got them all written down here. I was going to read them out to you, and you could write them down and do your homework. You can come and ask me for them if you want afterwards. Lots of other places we can go and look and establish that and develop that and work on that if you wish to. In creation itself, those days of creation, that moment of creation, where was Jesus Christ? Where was he? Was he not there speaking? John chapter 1 and verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In all the counsels of God from before creation, in creation. Tell me, friends, where was the Lord Jesus Christ at the moment of the fall? That momentous occasion when our first father and our first mother rebelled against God. Where was he? Do you know? Genesis 3 and verse 15. Don't forget this verse, friends. In that dreadful moment, as God deals with Adam and Eve, he says this to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. That's a death blow, even though you will strike his heel. Friends, where is Christ at the fall? Right there, proclaimed by God as the answer to the problem. There. Not forgotten, not out of the equation, not caught by surprise. The answer to the problem. 4,000 years later, or so. Where was Christ then? Where was he then? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. He came in the wisdom of God. The world, through its wisdom, did not know him. But God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believed. God himself entered into the fallen, foolish world as the Son of God to proclaim the message. We might use the words of the hymn. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. He emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Here is Christ coming into creation. Where was he when sin was cast out? 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. This is his work. In keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Where will he be then? He will be our King. This is Jesus, who sees to it that we are free from sin and he will rule over us. Where will he be on the day of judgment? He will be our judge. Matthew chapter 25, if we were to turn just to one of the many we could use. Listen to these verses. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his heavenly throne. Sorry, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. There is where Christ will be at that moment. Friends, we must honour Christ as the all in all. He is the very centre of all the counsel of God with man. The whole of human history revolves around who? Christ. He is our all in all. Friends, we must listen very carefully to what the world says, because in so many ways, large and small, the world would have you make yourself the center of as much as possible. Perhaps your little world, perhaps a greater sphere of influence. But the Bible shows us very clearly that Jesus Christ is the center of all there has ever been and all that there will ever be. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Friends, honor the Son. Let him be the center of your life as he is the center of all human life. Firstly, we have seen that Jesus Christ is the center of all the counsel of God with man. Second, let us look in slightly greater detail how we see Christ in all of the Bible. Because there is a challenge as we read the Bible. We love and honor this book in this church. It is a unique book. It is the Word of God to us, preserved for us by God the Holy Spirit. Not everybody thinks like that. And we need to understand how we can show the world what we have just claimed, that Christ is all. So we need to understand how we can read the Bible and show Christ from it. You see, there's an error in the church today that is taking Christ out of the scriptures and trying to move him back to the first century AD. Now, he was there. He walked the earth. And that context is important. But friends, the world is trying to go even further. The world is trying to take Christ out altogether and leave him out completely. You must have noticed the use of the terminology BCE. Instead of BC. Do you know what it stands for? If they're being nice, it stands for before the Christian era. That's wrong, by the way. If some would have their way, it means before the common era. And one is tempted to say common what? The terms are BC, before Christ, and AD, which is Latin, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, and they speak to this, the incarnation of Christ, him coming from heaven to earth, this unique and wonderful and remarkable center of all of human history, where the one who is the center of all human history, although we haven't seen him, comes in so we can see him. There has never been before the Christian era, if Christ is the center of all of human history, because the Christian is one who believes in Christ. We only use that name after he'd come, because we didn't realize what we were talking about until he'd come. But there were people of faith back then who believed, not in Christ, because they didn't know him as Christ, but they believed in a savior, a messiah. They believed in God saving them. And they live by faith. But friends, the error is mirrored in the church. And there are times when we take Christ back just to the first century. And we're happy to say, oh, I see the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. But friends, we can see the Lord Jesus in every aspect of Scripture, in every part of it, if we will rightly look. He is in the whole Bible and he is the center of attention. His life and death and resurrection are first alluded to, as you've seen already, in Genesis. Right there in Genesis 3:15, on the moment of the fall, there is Christ proclaimed by God to Adam and Eve and the devil. And the devil's left in no doubt about where it's going to end up. Proclaimed. He's pictured. That selfsame day, Jesus Christ is pictured. What happens to cover their shame and their nakedness? They're granted skins to wear. Where does skin come from? It's the back of an animal. There was a sacrifice that day. Someone died because of sin to provide the covering, the removal of the shame. It was spoken of by the prophets. Throughout the whole of the Old Testament history, time and time again, these people came with a message from God. He's coming. He's coming, don't forget, he's coming. They proclaimed him. They pictured him. And friends, he arrives. He comes into the center of human history. And what has happened since? He was announced by the resurrection. He was announced and explained and proclaimed by the disciples. He was worshipped by the early church. And friends, we've worshipped him again today, for this continues. And one day we'll see him face to face. And we'll fully understand, even now as we're understood. We could go into greater detail. And you can go into greater detail and find the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and find him in all of these aspects. I've given the game away. Who is pictured in every single animal sacrifice in the Old Testament? Say it for me. Sorry? Jesus. Yes. Go on. You can say it for me. You know, it's a lovely name. Jesus is pictured in every single animal sacrifice in the Old Testament. Okay? So when you read the Old Testament and somebody says, oh, it looks a bit gory and it looks a bit, I don't quite get it. You can say it's a picture to a people who needed a very clear illustration. God did the first one right back there in Genesis. Christ did the last one for real. There you go. There's the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. We've done this in Hebrews 11. Go listen to the sermons, took me a while, on Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, and all of that, and how we see faith coming there. What about Jacob when he wrestles? What about the ceremonial law and Moses? There's a verse in Galatians 3 that helps us there. The cloud and the fire and the water from the rock. Where do all these find their connection? Friends, they're Jesus. They're God with us. They're his light to guide us, his shelter over us, his water to provide for us. All of these, you can make those connections. Judges and deliverance. Man is sinful. A redeemer is raised up to free them from the slavery. Time and time and time again, because they didn't get it. Every generation needed it. But what did the Lord Jesus come and do? He redeemed us from slavery to sin. Great David's greater son, the prophets. Every step of the way. I could go on doing this for ages. It's a lovely thing to do. Read the Old Testament and see Christ as the all in all. Friends, if you've not found the Lord Jesus Christ in a passage of Scripture, you've missed the point. And the first rule of thumb, if you think you've missed the point, is just to read a bit further around it, particularly in the Old Testament. Read around what's going on. You take one little chapter and a few verses and you think, don't get it. Just read a bit more. Spread it out a little bit. And as you read a bit more, you will soon see a bigger picture occurring. And eventually, by asking God the Holy Spirit to help you, you will find Christ. And I love to do that. If you want to, come and ask me. And I'll sit down with you and we can work on it together, because I like nothing more than finding the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God and praising him for doing it. Friends, you can't study the solar system and leave the sun out of the equation, can you? It would be bonkers to try. We'd have no explanation, because we need that mass in the middle for the gravity to work. We need the light to reflect off things so as we can see it. You know, you saw the moon last night, I'm sure, like I did, bright and shining. Why? Because the sun's hiding behind the other side of the earth. Yes, and we can see the light. You can't explain anything without the sun in the solar system. It doesn't add up. Friends, you cannot explain the Bible without Christ. Don't leave him out. Look hard. Search. And find him. The counsel of God, the Bible, we find Christ as the center of all these things. Thirdly, Christ is all in the religion of all true Christians. As we put our faith into practice, that's what religion is, putting our faith into practice, the things we do, Christ must be all. He must be in all. Now, this is not to be un-Trinitarian. I'm not denying that there are three persons to God. I'm not going to say Jesus is one on his own. But listen to John in chapter 6 and verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. God himself has named Christ as the center of our experience, of our religious experience. So in our justification, we understand, the Bible says very clearly, it is in Christ alone that we have access to heaven. It is by faith in him alone that God's justice works for man's benefit. We ask for and receive forgiveness not because of our good works, but because of Christ's redeeming love, because he bore our sin on his shoulders. Our good deeds would get us access to nowhere when it comes to heaven. We can't keep the Ten Commandments. We've all broken them. So we come in the name of Jesus Christ. In Christ alone, my hope is found. We go to the hymn writer again, couldn't we? Friends, in our sanctification, our ongoing walk with him, again, not to be un-Trinitarian, but here Christ has to be the center of all that we do. God the Holy Spirit plays a key role that we must not undermine. But we read John 15, chapter 5, about the vine and the branches. I am the vine, said Jesus, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God, the Holy Spirit, shows the Lord Jesus to us and enables us to do his works after him, to be the branches on the vine. But he is the vine. Let's remember that. Would you be holy? Then Christ is the manna you must eat daily, like Israel in the wilderness of the old. He must be the rock from which you drink. As you read those Old Testament stories of the people wandering in the desert and they're crying out for food, manna from God. Friends, as you're crying out for food, read of the Lord Jesus and be fed. Emulate him by God's Holy Spirit at work in you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That could easily be the title of the sermon series we had in Hebrews. That's really what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. All of this ties in there. You could go and spend much time studying more there. We must allow for the Lord Jesus Christ to be our all, in our comfort when things are difficult, in our justification, in our sanctification, in our comfort. Friends, it's Jesus who walks with us in difficulty, and you know the story, don't you, of the footprints in the sand. It's the Lord Jesus who carries us when we can no longer take the steps ourselves. We looked at this last week. He is the friend in the boat with us in the hard time. He is closer than a brother. He knows our sorrow and weariness in ways that we don't and can't understand, and he can give us comfort that we can get nowhere else. Go to the psalmist and read of David and the times he received comfort from the Lord. Many other ways and means will offer light comfort, which will fail at some point. Many people will say, try this, try that. But friends, the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail. He must be our hope. The world around us is full of those lovely platitudes. We'll see each other on the other side. Pictures of clouds and angels and harps. But friends, we're not looking for clouds and angels and harps. We're not looking to see other people on the other side. I don't know about you, but if Christ is our all in all, as we go from this life to the next, we're going to meet him. Now, there'll be a countless number of other people around, and we will know the wonder of being with our friends in glory. But friends, the first face you see on the other side is our Lord's. He will greet us and welcome us home. He is our hope. We quote from Ryle, why is a believer patient? Because he looks for the coming of the Lord. He can bear hard things without murmuring. He knows the time is short. He waits quietly for the King. This is who you will see. it is him you will meet when you go. We could look at it like this, for those of you who like pictures. I had a joke about this in the elders' meeting, leadership meeting earlier on this week. You know, so often in life, it feels like we're stuck in the tunnel. It's dark on all sides. We've gone in. We knew what we were going into, but we've gone in and we've gone round the corner and you can't see behind you. And you can't really see up ahead and all of a sudden there's a bright light. Well, you know where I'm going with the story. It's as old as the hills, isn't it? Let's pray it's not the light of the oncoming train. Yes, that's where we're going. But friends, it's not. In this life, it's dark, and sometimes we walk and the bends are numerous and many, and we can't see either end. Well, actually, I want to tell you what is at the other end. There is a light at the other end. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not an onrushing train to make it worse and mow you down. He is there calling you home, drawing you onwards. The closer you get, the lighter it will be, for he shines with the glory light of heaven itself, and his angels are with him. I'd like to quote again from the book of Titus. All the T's are together before Hebrews. Let me find Titus. Here we go. Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. As the light that comes and brings our final glorification with it. Friends, if we were in any doubt, we've got there already, but we must understand that Christ is all in all in heaven. Christ is all in heaven. If you would do something today in follow-up to this sermon, dwell on Revelation 5 and 7 and 21 and see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is now in the center of heaven, worshipped and adored in all his splendor. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, they're singing. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. These are the words resounding around the throne at the moment. All who are there will serve him. We will think of him. We will dwell on him. His presence will be our everlasting enjoyment. We shall see him face to face. We shall share in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Catch the picture, the vision, the wonder, the glory of Christ being all in heaven. Friends, do you believe in this Jesus Christ? Yes? Yes. Ryle says this, tell him you have heard that he receives sinners and that you are such. Tell him you want to be saved and ask him to save you. Rest not till you've actually tasted for yourself that the Lord is gracious. Do this and you shall find sooner or later, if you're really earnest, that Christ is all in all. If you've never come to know Christ, do that today. If you have, remember that this is what is worked out because Christ is our all in all. He must be our all in all. He must be our all in all. In our daily lives, as we speak gently to people who don't speak gently to us. In our weekly life, as we come and share with one another. And bless and encourage one another by sharing the vision of Christ between us. He must be our all in the matter of salvation. Trust only in him and nothing else. The hymn writer has said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. He will, if we ask. He will lead us home. If this is true, let us lean solely on him for our daily needs, our spiritual relief, and our energy for doing good. For Christ is all in all. Amen.